And so we can see here also the enemy's going to come in and try to cause your sin not to look as bad as it is. He's going to begin to put a little bit of a thought in there, interject thoughts in there to make you start contemplating this evil work the enemy wants you to do as if maybe it's not that bad. And so be careful when you start having those kinds of thoughts. Be careful to take that captive and don't buy into the temptation, because it's going to lead to sin, which is going to lead to death. Right there, his friend should have said, his cousin should have said, "Wait a minute, what do you mean Absalom's sister? That's your sister. And yeah, she's hot, but she's your sister, all right? You know, get over it. Let's go play baseball or something, you know? This is crazy. That's your sister. What, are you crazy?" You know, you could see the enemy using this, as sad as it is, people, you know, with homosexuality and things. Things you'd never think possible would open up for you to ever think about. But then the enemy begins to say, "Well, yeah, but look at all these people who participate in it. It can't really be bad. It's just the way God made them." And then pretty soon you start to buy into these lies like, yeah, that relationship, you know, it's love, it's whatever. It's the same kind of fallacy, folks. It's the enemy starting to break down your resistance. And you're beginning to word things or see things in a way that makes sin not look so bad. Yeah, but everybody's been smoking pot and it's a natural substance. What's it going to hurt? And please, somebody could take my tape and put that out there. Boy, they would really try to destroy me, wouldn't they? No, that's what I'm saying. It's a lie. So what if it's a natural substance? It was never made by God for people to smoke it and do damage to their brain and begin to move into ways that they're not accountable for their own behavior. And so the enemy starts about drinking. Well, Christians shouldn't drink anyway. I really believe that. Well, you don't need to if you get a hold of God. But then you say, well, you know, when you were young, you could drink at 21. So what's changed? And so they start to rationalize why something's okay that they already know it's not okay. We need to take authority over that. We need to stop ourselves from doing that. And we've got teaching way back on that. I remember when the Lord started setting me free from devising evil in your heart is what it is, beginning to buy into a scheme of the enemy of how to get what you want, what your flesh wants, what the enemy wants you to have, something that's going to hurt you. And so this stuff is very subtle. But if you can begin to look at the Bible and begin to see where some of these things operate in your own life, you might be able to break the power of the triggers that Satan has placed in you to do things, especially if you have an addiction issue. You know, Terry was talking about addiction recently in a series. It's either going to be part of this series or another series that'll come out when this one comes out. But we need to take really serious, even eating. I know we started the class with Angela, and I heard it went very, very well. I purposely didn't go because I'm going on the cruise, and I didn't want to hear what not to eat when I'm going on a cruise and I'm paying all this money. But see, that's that kind of rationale. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But I lost a couple of pounds, so when I get on the cruise, I can gain a couple pounds back and still be right where I was. And if I gain a few others, I figure I can take back a few. Everybody has to lose a few pounds when you get off a cruise. Do you kind of get what I'm talking about, all right? It's when you begin to kind of turn it around a little bit, to give it to the temptation a little bit. But that's okay, because I am bringing my Skecher shoes. That means everywhere I walk, it's workout. So when I'm walking to that buffet table 10 times a meal, I am working out. All right, so I was just kind of demonstrating, ha, 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 you know. But it's the same kind of way you start to let those thoughts in about dating somebody you shouldn't date if you're a believer, and you start to date an unbeliever. Well, it's not a date. We're just going to hang out. Or it's not, you know, it's that kind of thing. And so we need to be very careful of that, because it's really Satan just pulling you deeper and deeper into his plan. So here he says, Amnon says to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. Now, what a great friend this is. Don't have friends like this. Get rid of friends who devise evil really fast. Now, God set me free from it, but I used to be a person. And because the enemy knew my gifting to be a problem solver and to quickly tune into the things of God and solve things. But the enemy got a hold of that way before I knew who God really was and began to use my mind to get me out of trouble quick through lying and different things. And it really didn't get me out of trouble. It usually got me into more trouble. But I'd almost think like that right away. Like, oh, how do I get out of this? What do I say? How do I lie? You know? And it was almost an automatic thing. And I don't know what teaching series that's on. Do you know? We'll have to find it. I know it's something I taught a long time ago, and I know a lot of you were there and got free from it. But we need to quit devising evil in our hearts. That's what that is. God hates that. We need to learn instead to cry out to God. This guy's not crying out to God and asking for wisdom. This guy's not trying to help him. He instantly hears from the enemy as how to help this guy get in to get what he wants, get into sin. And he says, look, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. So we got deception. We've got taking on a spirit of infirmity. Possibly open the door for infirmity. If you ever use sickness, then later on sickness will have authority to come back and be a part of your life when you don't want it. So I really encourage you, don't call in sick for work. If you have to call in and just say, I'm taking a sick day, then call in and say, I'm taking a sick day. But I would not use sickness to get out of something and then wonder why down the road it comes back and when you don't want it, it wants to be part of your life. You need to not be a part of deception. It's hard. I know it can be difficult because if it's something that we think we can use to get our way, for some reason we don't trust God that he'll just have mercy, that he'll open doors, that he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. But he really will, and he wants us to get free from all this. I wish I could think of what teaching series this is on. I know it's on something we've done. I know that it is because I remember teaching all this. Anyway, so here we have him pretending. Remember we talked about hypocrisy. That's another series that's out there that's getting ready to come out. And being a pretender. So you need to stop and think, are there areas in my life that I pretended something that wasn't true to give into my flesh? And even as we do an altar call later tonight, if that's true, that may be where a pretending kind of thing got in that then takes over and has a life of its own. So pray about that. Lord, show me where I pretended something to get something that I wanted. Instead of just going to, what does the Bible say? If you want something, you go to God and you ask. If he says no, if it's something that you should have and you're not getting it, your motives are wrong. And if it's something you shouldn't have, of course he's going to show you why you shouldn't have it. And I just want to break the power of a lie that even I've heard some ministers use that has opened the door for a lot of sexual sin. And the lie is, it's better to ask God for forgiveness than to ask for permission. That is a lie, okay? That's not in the Bible. That is a lie. That is a lie that Satan has subtly put in on different people's thinking, which really says, do what you want, be as rebellious as you want, sin all you want. You can always go back to the cross and ask for forgiveness. Well, didn't work for Judas, now did it. So don't ever think you're going to outwit God or outsmart God or be able to devise evil in your heart and not pay the consequences of it. It's very serious not to give our mind and our thinking over to the enemy, because he's going to cash in on that one day. And you're going to wonder why you're losing your mind. You're going to wonder why you're fighting Alzheimer's or whatever else, and why there's so much conflict. People are so delusional. It's just amazing to me. And we need to really ask God to set us free. And we do have teaching on being delusional. Okay, so he's pretending. So we need to break the power of that. So if you've done that, you need to ask God to forgive you. If you haven't, if you've ever used sickness to fool someone, to get away with something, you need to ask God to break the power of that. You do not want, and repent of that, you do not want to give the enemy or spirit of infirmity permission to come and be in your body. Okay, and your father will come in, and he said, now you lay down and pretend you're sick. Your father's going to come in and see you, and then you'll say to him, please, let my sister Tamar. Now, isn't it amazing? It's his sister now, isn't it? It's his sister now. It's not Absalom's sister, which shows one thing. This cousin knew it's his sister. He didn't buy the lie or the deception. The other thing, though, is, look, your dad's going to think it's pretty innocent if you want your own sister to come in. So once again, we see him using words to put a picture out there that's not true to bring David into deception. It says, your father will come in to see you, and you shall say to him, please let my sister Tamar come in and give me food to eat. And she shall make the food before my eyes so that I may see and may eat from her hand. I don't know if they just did things really different back then, but if my son wanted me to send his sister in and he wanted to watch her cook and eat from her hand, I'd already think something was wrong, okay? But I don't quite know if that was normal back then, but whatever. All right, verse 6. And Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. So he gave in to what? Bad advice. Let me tell you something. The Bible's very clear. Who you hang out with will corrupt you. What's the scripture? It says, bad company corrupts good character. Don't think for 1 minute that who you hang out with isn't important, that who your children hang out isn't important. It's very, very important. There is a vexing that comes when someone who is into devising evil and living in lust and these kind of things begin to lure your kids in. And you're just going to have to do some hard stuff sometimes. I'll tell you, I was very, very strict on who my kids could and couldn't hang out with. But I started telling them from an early age. So they knew, you know, if they're not a believer, you can't hang out with them. Why? Because their parents won't agree with the way I'm raising you. They won't understand how to say no to temptation. And they're going to lead you into rebellion. And don't think your little kids are going to be so powerful as witnesses that they're going to get those other people saved. If it's a really sold-out kid and the Lord has them there, once in a while, that's true. But overall, you see a lot of Christian kids being really falling into peer pressure. What's peer pressure? Being vexed. It's demonic spirits being released from unbelievers to cause you to do things that cause you to rebel against God, which hardens your heart against God, which begins to make the things of God seem foolish, or I don't want to be a part of that. And pretty soon, if it's church things or Christian kids, oh, they're losers. I'm not, you know, you need to really pray. You can break soul ties in your prayers, you know that. And then you may have to really go out of your way to set up relationships for your kids that are godly with kids that they really want to hang out with. And I know, Mitchell and them used to really give me a hard time that they were at Christian school. But it's really cool now that Mitchell's getting ready to go to L.A. And who's he going with? One of his good Christian friends from Christian school. That's who he's going with. He's going with a kid who's a strong Christian. He's going with a kid who has strong Christian values, whose whole support system and family is Christians. And even the people in the context they're making, they're all Christians. Everywhere he turns, it's Christian. Praise God. You know, just praise God for that. But I don't believe that would have happened had I not been obedient to put my kid in the school that God told me to put him in. It wasn't the school I would have thought of. My husband couldn't believe I put them in that school because I actually got thrown out of that church for being a spirit-filled believer years before. Nobody was more amazed that God would have me take my kids back to that particular church and put them in that school. And of course they're going to moan and groan about some of it. But you just keep doing what you see. You need to hear from God, okay? You need to hear from God. Because when you hear from God, it gives you the, what's the word? It gives you the backbone to tell them what he's telling you. And don't make them hate him. Just say, you know what, I prayed about this, and you're not going to hang out with that friend. The only thing, if you want to bring that kid to church, that kid can come to church, but that's it. You're not hanging out, you're not going to hang out over there alone. Let's get, you know, come on, think what you did at their ages. And don't go into total shock. It's worse now, not better. It's, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's worse. The TV shows and the garbage, they're worse. The influence of the friends, it's worse. So get your head out of the hole in the sand, pretending everything is okay when they're hanging out with unbelievers, and realize it's not true, folks. It's worse. The influence is worse. And then get direction from God, specific direction from God. He may tell you just to pray that relationship away. I've watched people move out of town when I pray. I've watched girlfriends decide like that they're not interested. It's not witchcraft. I pray the will of the Lord. I pray the word of God, and I trust the Lord. And then there have been times when I've had to say, nope, I don't like what this is producing in you. I don't like the way you're acting. I don't like the rebellion. This isn't happening. And the more you sit here and scream at me and call me names, the more I know I'm right. It's just, you know, we are to train them up in the way of God so that that is real in their lives. All right, here we are. We're at verse 6. So Ammon lay down and pretended to be ill, and the king came to see him. And Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come, and she shall make two cakes before my eyes, and I shall eat from her hand. David, you needed a little wake-up call right there. But David sent home to Tamar, saying, please go to the house of your brother Amnon and make food for him. And Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laying down. And she took the dough and kneaded it, and made cakes before his eyes, and baked the cakes. And she took the baking pan and poured out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, cause every man to go out from me. And every one of them went out from him. So there's a lot of other people in the room when this is going on. So she's just cooking, doing her thing, and they're probably talking or whatever. And then all of a sudden, she's finished cooking. And he says to everyone else in the room, I want everybody out of here except for Tamar. I want you all to leave. And Amnon said to Tamar, and you got to think about this too, the father probably knew that there were all these people there in the house. And that it was just, he's hungry, Tamar, go fix something. Maybe she was known for cooking cakes or something. Go fix some cakes for your brother. He's got a group of friends over there. He's not feeling good. Thinking nothing of it. And let me say this, really pray against the spirit of incest. If I had people raise their hands in this room who had someone in their immediate family molest them, touch them, or even have sexual intercourse with them, you would be amazed. There would be people in this room whose hands would go up. If you asked them, what if it was a cousin or relative or close friend of the family, you'd see even more hands go up. So quit pretending the stuff isn't trying to happen even in your homes. Get out of your delusions. Begin to ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to reveal to you anything the enemy's up to. It's not about accusing people. It's not about moving in fear. It's about having faith that God's going to protect your house. He wants to protect your kids. He wants to protect your family. But you have to have ears to hear what he wants to tell you, and you have to understand the assignment and the schemes of the enemy. And know this, just like in the situation with Ammon, it wasn't because he was the most horrible person on the earth. His father had broken God's laws, and those spirits of iniquity were in the family line. And this didn't just come out of nowhere. This stuff is planted against people. It's planted against people.